So we've been reporting all morning about the situation in Gaza. It appears to be a protracted military standoff between Hamas and Israel, although both sides apparently are looking for some sort of decisive outcome that would at least raise their profile, if not their military objectives in Gaza. And the conflict between Israel and Hamas is one that's been brewing for a long time. The ceasefire between the two only held together for 6 months. Joining us now to talk about, first of all, what is the nature of this conflict and where does it go from here is Daniel Levy, who's director of the New America Foundation's Middle East Initiative. He's a senior fellow and director of the Prospects for Peace Initiative at the Century Foundation and was one of the negotiators in the Oslo process back before the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Daniel Levy, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, John.
You are on the line from Washington. Let me just begin by saying, from my perspective, this looks like a battle between two equal and opposite power vacuums. The Israeli government is getting ready for elections. Hamas, of course, is fighting for its own legitimacy within the broader Palestinian movement. Do you see it as two power vacuums that really need to assert their credibility and are doing it militarily here?
I think that's a very perceptive way of looking at it. Of course, this has its immediate triggers that led to this, the end of the ceasefire. But why we're seeing this happen rooted in where the domestic politics are on both sides and in the regional situation. A lot of your listeners may say, oh, the Israelis and Arabs are shooting each other. Wow, what's new? I think what's new is just how dangerously destabilized the Middle East is in terms of the backdrop against which this is happening. There are demonstrations right across the region. The street, the public are angry, and the fragile regimes that we call moderate and that we call allies are feeling very, very vulnerable right now. The streets aren't with them, and that really matters for America, because this is a region in which America is deeply invested and which we've seen just how immediately that can affect American security. And America is also being blamed for what's going on, unfortunately.
Well, Daniel Levy, does that street reaction, as you describe it, and we've already heard demonstrations from Damascus this morning, does that encourage Arab regimes, regional regimes, to stay on the sidelines, or does it encourage them to come in and attempt to broker something? Egypt was in most recently.
Well, they're all very discredited, it has to be said. They are being looked at by their own publics as either complicit or impotent in this. So yes, they want to broker it, but also it encourages them to take steps that only distance themselves further from where the public mood is. Right now, what you will see is an effort to try and move this into a de-escalation and into a ceasefire. But things have escalated so greatly that that will be very difficult to achieve. To get there, you're going to need the regional actors to get involved, not just Egypt. The Egypt-Hamas relationship is a very, very thorny and difficult one and has a lot to do with Egyptian domestic politics. So you'll need other regional actors, but you're also going to need external powers. A big question many in the region are asking is, why is the U.S. understandably still with its Israeli ally, but incapable of displaying any empathy to the other side? And why is the U.S. letting this happen? That's the question that's being asked all around the Arab world.
When you speak about other regional actors, a reporter from the New York Times earlier suggested that perhaps Turkey may be in a position to help facilitate negotiations.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And the news reports this morning suggest that a Turkish effort is already underway. It's very interesting. One of the things that's happened in the last years, it is that another vacuum has existed, which is America has relations and talks to very few of the key actors in the region today, unlike in the past. So you have Turkey filling that vacuum, you have Qatar and others filling that vacuum. What you'll tend to find, though, is in the end, you'll also need America to get involved to bring the Israelis on board.
Well, Daniel Levy, you'll also need Iran to get involved. And, you know, let's talk about a power vacuum there. Does Ahmadinejad get more credibility by stepping up and encouraging Hamas to show restraint in its rocket attacks on Israel, or does Ahmadinejad get more credibility in the region and within Iran by maybe saber-rattling, lobbing a missile, or doing something even more radical?
Well, there's no missiles to be lobbed from Iran. Iran doesn't border Israel. Iran's not going to go into that kind of an escalatory act. Right now in the region, The mood is that you're seeing the pictures out of Gaza. You're seeing over 350 casualties, over 50 of them are civilians, and no one is scoring any points by calling for too much moderation. So Iran, in Iraq, you've got Sistani and others. All across the region, people are saying, hey, we need to see a response that gets back at Israel. It's not just Iran. I think what it points to, though, is that the only way you're going to be able to restabilize the region is to, difficult as it is, get beyond this simple moderate extremist divide and try and create some kind of grand bargain. Try and bring others into the room. If America can't do that directly, then you'll have to use others. One of the reasons you need Turkey or Qatar to be involved is because America and others don't talk to Hamas.
Well,
Daniel, they won an election, understandably. Yes.
Well, Daniel Levy, last question then. If there were, under the new Barack Obama administration, a new dialogue between the U.S. and Iran, might such a dialogue be capable of bringing Hamas and Fatah, the other party in the Palestinian movement, together to create at least a consensus arrangement that would then negotiate with Israel?
I think that's right. If you have a dialogue with Iran where everything is on the table, not just the nuclear issue, not just Iraq, but everything, including Iran's involvement in this issue, then it may encourage a more easy reconciliation within the Palestinian house and putting that Palestinian Humpty Dumpty back together in. Hamas is not Iran's proxy. Iran does have some influence there.
Well, Daniel Levy, you're not the first one to use the Humpty Dumpty metaphor on our program, but thank you very much for joining us. Daniel Levy is the director of the New America Foundation's Middle East Initiative. He joined us from Washington. He's also a senior fellow and director of the Prospects for Peace Initiative at the Century Foundation. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Already, retailers are headed for bankruptcy, at least some. Only a few more days for retailers to make up what has been a dismal sales year. But consumers aren't buying. Tell us, what would get you into the store? Or maybe why you don't want to go into the store at all.
Hi, this is Greg from Boston. One of the problems I have with shopping is that I feel like such a sucker from advertising when I walk into a store. It makes me feel like I'm just being directed like a little white rat through a maze, and it just makes me feel dumb to walk into a store from the beginning.
Boy, retailers have some serious work to do to get shoppers into the stores. What's your story? Why are you not shopping? 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. And here's a thought for a takeaway for the day.
The U.S. is really out in the open as the only power, basically blaming Hamas and saying to the Israelis, get on with it.
That's Jim Muir from the BBC coming to us from Beirut, Lebanon, talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. One of our listeners, Beth, emailed us this story when she talked with a young Israeli here in the U.S. She says, quote, I was supposed to get drafted, but I'm not in Israel, so I didn't. Most people in Israel are all for this action. I don't know how to say it so that everybody will understand. Rockets at houses 5 or 6 times a day, mostly at the time kids go to school or come back from school. That's nothing that a state or country should agree to live with or live under in those conditions. We're always on here at The Takeaway. If you missed anything, take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or iTunes. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.